Join me in Matthew 26. I'll be reading verse 36 through 39 in just a few moments. But first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all of you once again for being here this morning. Easter Sunday morning is a special time to be in church, and I appreciate that. You could have been anywhere you've chosen this morning, but you have chosen to be here with us. I don't take that lightly, and I want to let you know how much I do appreciate all of you being here this morning in church on every Sunday, I would pray. This week has been somewhat challenging for my family. About 3 o'clock Tuesday morning, I received a phone call from my sister, Susie, telling me of my nephew Austin's accident. He was out the night before, or that he was out that evening, early morning, watching the lunar eclipse and fell from the top of a building. In the fall, he broke over 20 bones, and when they transferred him to Atlanta, they found a few more. The worst, of course, was in his back. And they are giving him a 1 in 10,000 chance to walk again. As you can imagine, moms, if it were your child, she was crying inconsolably as she was traveling toward Chattanooga, where he was. And she kept saying, "He didn't deserve this." Just over and over, "He didn't deserve this." And of course, a young 22-year-old, I think he's a junior in college now, junior, sophomore, somewhere there, certainly doesn't deserve to have his life changed so dramatically by just a single event. We might ask the question, "Lord, is there no other way? Lord, was there no other way than this?" Because you see, many of you profess in a sovereign God, and we believe in a God who ordains all things, even these we don't like. And I believe with all of my heart, as tragic as it is that he ordained Austin's fall, it was not a surprise to our Lord. Because his plans are much higher than ours. His will and his wisdom is much greater than we can understand. And so I give to the sovereignty of God in these cases. But we are human. And we ask, "Lord, are you sure? Was there no other way?" You have been involved in things in your life. I know many of you in this room very well. And you've been involved in things in your life where you probably uttered the same thing. "Lord, is there not another way? Could it not be different than this?" The truth of our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, it's something we pass by every year this time. But from time to time, we need to stop and dig into the truths. Slow down and take a look at the crucifixion and the resurrection. And today we might ask the question of our Lord's crucifixion. Tony prayed in his prayer of the horrible pain and the agony and the humiliation that our Lord went through. Was there no other way? Father, Was this it? In Matthew 26, verse 36 and following, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Father, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Here is one of the most rare occasions in all of Holy Text regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in his anguish, we see his humanity more than any other place, I think. He's being overwhelmed. He's being completely in angst by what the Father has given him. And this is a new experience for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he shed tears of sadness. Yes, he has been mournful. But here, sorrow, even to the point of death, and he's not even approaching the cross yet. He's in great anguish. Imagine Peter and James and John. They've been with Jesus now over 3 years, and they've seen him handle everything, all of the opposition. They've seen him handle it seemingly in stride. But here, he seems to be unraveling. He seems to be giving in to the overwhelming pressure and angst and sorrow that's upon him. He asks the Father a question. "My Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me. Father, is there no other way? Is there no other way?" As I've said, like no other place in text, we see our Lord's humanity. And he's praying in the garden to such fervency. "Father, is there no other way? If it be thy will, let this cup pass." You see, he's beginning to feel the weight of the moment. He's beginning to feel the sin of the entire world being funneled and caressed and brought in and laid upon his shoulders. He knows what's before him. Is there no other way? Is there no other way? So let's answer that question. Why was there no other way? Why was this the way that the Father chose? Why was it the crucifixion, the humiliating events surrounding the crucifixion? Why was this the way that it had to be? First, we as human beings need a high priest. And not just any high priest. We need a high priest of the Old Testament context, that the high priest lived and breathed and worked in and about and was in and from and among the people. We need a high priest who can identify with us. Hebrews 4:15 states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted just as we are, yet is without sin." He had to be here to adequately and properly represent you as a high priest before God the Father. Jesus must be able to identify with our weakness in order to represent the people For you see, a high priest took the concerns of the people into the temple, into that highest of places before God. And he had to be able to know and feel and live the weakness of the people in order to represent them fully. Here's one of the great differences in our faith and many of the faiths of the world. We have a Christ of Jesus who is alive, but yet he was also alive among us. He lived and breathed and had his being among us. He had the trials and the heartaches and the challenges and the chores, just like you. He could have at any time, being God, said, no. But yet he kept saying, my time has not yet come. The fullness of his divinity did not yet need to be portrayed and relayed. And so he lived out his life among us. He felt the pains and the horrors just as you have. I have to argue even greater. I don't think any of you have hung on a cross. Secondly, the reason this had to be the way, compassion. Now, it could be argued this is not a very compassionate type of work our Lord is doing. Well, it's not compassion for the Son of God. It's compassion for you. The Father's compassion is being poured out to you through this work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the work of Jesus Christ, we see a great, loving, and compassionate Father. Just as I know every one of you who have children, you will do whatever is necessary to protect your children. You will do whatever is necessary to show compassion and love and nurture to your children. You will sacrifice whatever is necessary so that they will understand the love that you have for them. Your Father in heaven seeks to do you the same. And he has done everything necessary to reveal his compassion, his love, and his nurture for you who are in greatest of need. And he spared no expense meeting your direst need. Only a loving, compassionate Father would do that. In the hymn we're going to sing as we close here in a bit, we read, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. That's me. And that's you. Yes, indeed, our Father's love is deep, and we are indeed his treasure. Thirdly, in resolving this, there being no other way, thirdly, it had to be Jesus Christ. This sacrifice against a holy God to cover the travesty of sin could not have been done by anyone else except Jesus Christ. Only God himself can resolve the level of travesty committed against his holy name by you. We think we're pretty important people, but your death would not come close to satisfying the justice required by a holy and righteous God. It had to be God. It had to be God sacrificed to meet the level of need by the injustice done to our Father's name. No one else. Paul couldn't have done it. John, whom Jesus referred to as his beloved, would not have sufficed. It had to be Jesus Christ. Today, too many want to make out sin less than it is. We will rationalize our sin into being much lesser than it is. Again, we think we're pretty important people. We do this to make ourselves feel better. You see, if our sin is not so great, then we're probably not so bad. And these little things, these little infractions, well, you know, it's not that bad. Everybody does it. We even go so far as to say our sin is of such small concern that we really probably don't need any help resolving it. I can live a life good enough to where my good outweighs the bad. Because you see, if there is no sin, then I don't need saving. If I don't need saving, I don't need a Savior. If I don't need a Savior, I don't need Jesus. And that's sort of how the line goes. In the garden that night, there was a war going on, and blood was being spilled, and as I've said, the Lord hadn't even made it to the cross yet. That war being waged that night was because of your and my sinfulness, and it was because of Satan. Satan trying to tempt Jesus Christ into saying, well, now you really don't need to do this. The sinfulness of the world and the lies of Satan, all of this come crashing in that night. Jesus pled, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, because he was in the center of that war. It had to be him. It had to be him. Only he, the Son of God, had the ability in his position to defeat sin. Only Jesus Christ in his capacity had the ability to defeat the grave. Only Jesus Christ in his ability had the ability to defeat Satan. Is there no other way? Was there no other way? No. This was it. It had to be this way. And there are other things we can discuss in answering and resolving this issue. The glory of God revealed in all of these acts. The perfect Passover lamb being offered to fulfill the sacrifice needed. There are other things. And yes, like us, when faced these challenging times, our Jesus, our Lord, asked in his way, is there no other way, Father? Yes, he asked, he pleaded. But please note how he concluded his prayer. The last phrase of verse 39, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Yes, he asked, but then his trust won out. His trust of the Father's wisdom won out. And he was willing to put himself in the position necessary because his Father had prescribed this and he gave his Father complete trust. Nevertheless, what I desire. Forget what I desire. Father, your will. Your will is what is best. This is where we must be in our love and trust of the Father. Yes, our Lord desires to hear our hearts. He desires to hear our prayers. He desires to hear our pleas. He desires to hear what is troubling us. He is a compassionate Father who seeks to hear that from you. But ultimately, it is a position of trust. Father, whatever your will is, that is which I desire. Yes, my sister, in her own way, asked, is there not any other way for Austin? And I do pray that Austin walk again. He's a big old guy, 6'3" or 6'4", maybe. Big guy. Tall, lanky. I'd love to see him walking and big legs sprawled everywhere again. But if the Father's will is that he does not, then I'm good with that. I'll tell you my first thought, honestly, when I heard the news. I can't wait to see what God is going to do through Austin as he overcomes this tragedy and God is glorified in it. Because I know that's what the young man will do. He's going to school to be a worship leader. He plays and sings, plays the guitar, drums. He wants to lead people in worship, just like his brother. I think one day he will do that. It may be from a chair, but God will be glorified. Is there no other way? Nope. If God receives the glory, then that's the way. The betrayal and crucifixion of our Lord, was there another way? No. No. This was the Father's decree. Peter's sermon over in Acts chapter 2 maybe, acknowledges this to be the Father's will, that our Lord suffer and die like this. But the story doesn't end here, as you well know. If you would like, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. You know the story well. You read it this morning, I would imagine. Mark 16, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." You see, the crucifixion had to happen for Jesus to not be there. And for him not to be there and to be with the Father, so that he could fulfill the Father's decrees and to serve you as that intercession, that interceding Lord on your behalf. Is there no other way? I pray not. I pray not. If there is, I don't want it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through and by me. There is no other way." Let's pray together. Father, I know that your Son suffered incredibly, and you were heartbroken in it. But this is the way that you had decreed from the beginning of time, that our salvation would be won, gained, gifted to us through the humiliating sacrifice of our Lord, your Son, and then also through the beautiful resurrection of which we remember today. It had to be Jesus. It had to be our Lord. And it had to be this way. Oh, the love that you have shown us through these acts. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen and amen.